The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
We might not be back, I might be in jail, I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you remember I said, with the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they met it with a bat. Fucking protesting them sit-ins. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died, good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around and pump crack right up and you did it. And they just turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, and I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is April the 15th, 2016. It's a Friday. A lot of people that work a five-day work week, Monday through Friday. It's the weekend, what you look forward to. But I tell you, the way the economy is and the way things are just so bad for so many people, at least here in America and, of course, all over the planet, you know, the people are forced to work two and three jobs. So just because it's the weekend, you know, doesn't mean that people stop working and get to playing and what have you. There's a lot of people out there struggling to survive. So do have a couple of topics that I would like to share with you today, but before I do that, let me go ahead and give you some information. Do want to give a shout out to our listeners and contributors, Thomas, Durrell, Gregory, Ronald, the Land of Beauty, and ADAC LLC, who are some of the most recent contributors to our Black Talk Media crowdfunding campaign in 2016. This, so far in March, you know, we've been able to raise $268 in contributions. Of course, that's far short of the upwards of $16,000 a month to have a proper budget for a proper black independent radio network. But, you know, we work with what we have. We, you know, get the most out of the least. And so we'll continue to do that. But we do appreciate those who make sure that the platform stays online, make sure that the digital airways keep streaming and what have you. So also remember a new thing recently, contributions of $25 or more in addition to getting your reports as a contributor on our operation so that you will know what your investment is actually producing. But in addition to that, we'll send you appreciation. Black Radio Stations Matter T. And we currently have those sizes in medium, large, and extra large. We will get those in the extra, extra, and the small, because I know a lot of ladies wear the small. So you can find out more about this crowdfunding, Black Media at blacktalkradionetwork.com. There's a menu tab. Just look for crowdfunding, Black Media. Or if you go to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project's website, that's blacktalkmediaproject.org. And you can find out more information and why it is imperative that we get back to rebuilding what we have lost in terms of mass communications. It used to be a time where Black people had control of their mass communications. I'm talking about radio, never so much in television. That's always been dominated by the big three, NBC, ABC, CBS. We've never really had a big presence on television. I can't recall, maybe some local access television or some local shows. Oprah started in Chicago with her show, but it was not on a Black network. That show was owned by the very people who put out a bunch of propaganda targeting our people with a bunch of wrong information, distracting us from what's going on the battlefield. So, but radio, we have always had a presence. We've always had our own, but not so much, especially following the passage of the 1996 Telecommunication Act, which allowed the big corporations to own more stations in any given market. Let's just call it a city or what have you. And that just squeezed out the independents. So, that is why we are nonprofit model. This, we are not in this to make a profit. We are this is public radio, not much unlike what you hear from NPR or even the television network, public broadcasting service, or whatever that acronym stands for. But it's mostly funded by the people who watch and the people who listen. So you can find out more about that again by clicking on the tabs, crowdfunding, Black Media, either on Black Talk Radio Network's website or blacktalkmediaproject.org. Today, the topic of discussion over the next hour will be, we'll discuss some of the Democratic debate last night. I get so physically ill, just my ears hurt whenever I hear little Hillary Clinton speak, for real. And then when she gets into, pit bull mode and she starts yelling and she starts screaming, it's just really a turnoff, man. She was just really being a bully last night, trying to bully that old man, and seemed very rehearsed. And so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about that, but we will discuss some of what which was brought up. But more importantly, what I want to throw out there, and I'm kind of like, I got this topic from listening to Perry. What is the lady's name? I forget her name. I was just listening to her show. First time I tuned in on WVON, which you can find, a listing for them on blacktalkradionetwork.com, as well as a new listing for a terrestrial radio station coming out of Philadelphia, WURD. Again, we are a nonprofit, Black media organization, and we're not just about the creation, but we're about the promotion of the little bit of independent media we do have out there. And those are a couple of the terrestrial radio stations still in Black hands, at least a majority from what I know. But I was listening to, I know her last name is Perry. Her first name is Perry, and I can't recall her last name, but she has a show that comes on WVON from, I think it comes on from like 10 to 12. I know it goes off at noon and is followed by Al Sharpton's program. But they, it was a pretty informative program, and the callers were really going in hard on Hillary Clinton. They were talking about the crime bill. And they also played the clip, and I'm going to play it for you, and you probably already heard or saw it on the internet, but I watched it live on CNN last night, and you had Representative Bobby Rush. Where is Bobby Rush out of? Is he out of Illinois? Out of Chicago, I believe, Representative Bobby Rush. I believe he was a former Panther at one time, but a long time congressional representative representing, I think that district, that congressional district would include Chicago, if I'm not mistaken about what district he represents and what state he is out of. But he gave a really heartfelt apology and for his role in voting for the Clinton crime bill. And I mean, I thought the man was, you know, going to cry, seemed a bit choked up. And, you know, it really seemed like a sincere apology and saying that that bill, you know, talked about the devastation that that bill wrought upon black people. And, you know, there is a, I'm going to have to pull this article up. I saw another article. Yvette Carnell of Breaking Brown has shared this article. I don't think it was from her website. Somebody else had wrote it. And I should be able to find it on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. But the article talked about, you know, this narrative that the Clintons, because they haven't been, you know, Bill Clinton gave an apology. But he's not really sorry. And that was evident with the little spat he had with the activists who were associated with Black Lives Matter. And, you know, he come out later talking about, I almost want to apologize, you know, but the man ain't sorry. He's proud of his legacy of expanding modern day slavery and the police state within the black community. He's very, very proud of that. Hillary Clinton has never divorced herself from it, just like she's never divorced herself from the man himself, who is, I think we can say with all certainty that he is untrustworthy, even as a husband to her, and his infidelity and the disgusting things that, you know, he did in the Oval Office, in the White House and whatnot. So she hasn't divorced him, you know, as a husband and marriage-wise, and she has not really divorced herself from his policies. I keep hearing this talk about unintended consequences, and even Representative Rush uses those words, and he says, you know, and I accept that from him. I accepted that he really didn't see, because I was reading that other article, and it was saying the black community and the black leaders was, yeah, they were saying, you know, we need help to do something about this crime, but they was asking for a whole lot of stuff to address the crime that they did not get, like what Bernie Sanders is talking about now, what President Obama is talking about now, what he's tried to get through, at least he said he's tried to get through, a jobs package, an investment, you know. Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama may differ on the details of the plan or how they plan to put people to work, but of course the Republicans, you know, rightly, not rightly so, but it's been correctly reported that they have blocked a lot of stuff that President Obama would have done that would have helped people in poverty, help, you know, the working class people and whatnot through investment in the infrastructure of the United States, which is crumbling. We seeing water systems poisoning people with lead and what have you all across the country, not just in one or two places. So, I mean, the federal government could update the modern infrastructure and or modernize the infrastructure, I should say, and put a lot of people to work. And so that was what the black representatives were calling for back then in the 1990s, and they were hoping to get in this bill, but it did. I don't know. I don't have the details. I don't know if later on, you know, the Republicans just didn't fund it because they were in control of Congress. They didn't fund certain provisions that would provide for investment in these communities, revitalization grants and things of that nature, you know, putting money into the black community to address why people are committing crime, why people are, you know, selling crack and whatnot, and why people are using crack, you know. And so, but the whole approach, the implementation that Mr. Rush talked about was, you know, the way they implemented it was to just increase policing and locking up people and throwing away the key, destroying not only lives, but destroying families. putting people in prison for nonviolent so-called drug offenses and what have you, and putting them in prison for life or 30 years or 40 years. That might as well be a life sentence. And just set up that whole mousetrap. Now, again, people, you heard me mention unintended consequences, which Mr. Rush, you'll hear him use this language. But, you know, it might have been on his part, but it was not. It was totally intentional on the part of the Clintons and the GOP. And how I can say that is because they cut that money from the reform bill, which followed later, the welfare reform bill. Bill Clinton saying we're going to change welfare or transform it like it's never been transformed before. I don't remember his exact quote, but they stripped all this money, put restrictions on felons being able to access, you know, food stamps, public housing, you know, until they can get employment. Secured employment with health care and whatnot, and become, you know, productive people and what have you. But so they put all those restrictions, again, creating crime, because you're forcing these people into a life of crime. So as much as you talk, I hear these people talk about it was a crime prevention, it actually increased crime, really, when you couple the crime bill with the follow-up, the Welfare Reform Act, which then shifted all that money that they weren't going to issue in food stamps or subsidize affordable housing and any of these benefits and what jobs programs and what have you, job training programs, whatever. And you shifted that money to private prison contracts. The growth of the private prisons, you opened up the door for the states. You even assisted them with you know, clearing the way for these private prisons and building, you know, state prisons and whatnot. So a lot of harm was done. A lot of harm was done. But I don't understand how Mr. Rush can still turn around and endorse Hillary Clinton. She has not, you know, what has she told him as a superdelegate behind closed doors? I don't know, you know, with her. But what has he said to her? What has she said to him, rather, to make him, given her history of bad legislation that's been bad primarily for black people, but bad for children, bad for women, particularly if they're non-white, what has she said to him or promised it's going to be different this time, that she's any different than her husband? Because she was married to those policies. Indeed, a talking point they've used is if you elect Hillary, you know, you get Bill too. Like, he's bringing all this experience. Yeah, experience in what, though? Experience in diminishing black lives, devaluing black lives, making profits off black bodies. So, you know, you can apologize. I accept his apology. You know, nobody's perfect. We all do things in our past that we later might have some regrets when we have more information and we can think about it and we don't have emotional reactions and what have you. So it's not a matter of, you know, putting the blame on people like him. But, you know, apology just ain't gonna cut it, and his apology is watered down, so to speak, when he's endorsing one of the dynamic duo who did in. They done so much damage to the black community. Y'all heard me talking about, you know, the black crowdfunding black media. The 1996 Telecommunications Act, Republicans and the Clintons. Kill black radio. Kill our ownership of it. Just killed it. So, you know, when you endorsing someone like this, Mr. Rush, you know, it again brings up question of your judgment. You're saying you had bad judgment back then, and you're still exhibiting bad judgment as it pertains to Hillary Clinton and your endorsement of her today. Still out there on the campaign trail using her coded racist language and trying to cover up for other races and whatnot. I'm talking about the color people's time joke. CP time. So I tell you, man, these super delegates, as I've heard that, you know, supporters of Bernie Sanders are talking about targeting the super delegates. And the way the mainstream media has portrayed this is, you know, make it sound all animus and, you know, ill, mal intent. And all they are talking about is contacting these people and presenting an argument to convince them that when, you know, you need to change your vote. How can you back Hillary Clinton when, you know, X, Y, and Z? Because superdelegates, you know, they really don't even cast a vote until the convention. So what's the problem with, and I tell you what, especially coming from a black voter's perspective and as a member of the 1 million conscious black voters and contributors movement, that we need to be making a list of these black representatives that derive their power from the votes of black districts and what have you. And we need to be making a list of them. Because if they're showing that bad judgment and backing Hillary Clinton as superdelegates and what have you, well, they need to be targeted for relief of their duties. We don't need you no more. You can go back to teaching school or whatever it was you was doing, but you have shown bad judgment, and you are not the best person to be representing, you know, this community, this district of black people. We need to be making that list. There has to be repercussions. People say, well, how do you hold these people accountable? Well, you vote them out of office. There are a number of ways to hold proxy racists accountable. And it doesn't have to involve doing them bodily harm or you know, anything of that nature. You treat them like you would treat a white racist who mistreats you. Would you, you know, if you went into a white owned store and they disrespecting you and whatnot, and, you know, not appreciative of you patronizing their business, and, you know, you see these offensive things on the wall like the slaver's Confederate flag and whatnot, you know, would you continue to shop there? Well, the same thing with a black person, non-white person who's a proxy racist, who is a tool of the system, or aids it in whatever way they're aiding it. You would stop shopping with that black business or whatnot. So we're talking about elected representatives. So we're talking about holding them accountable by sending them packing, because they have bad judgment and they have shown a propensity to sell out to the white supremacist establishment. Sell out, willing to be the sock puppets of people that are verifiably evil. And that is not an exaggeration when you know the Clintons like I know the Clintons. So though, that's what's on the table. If you want to discuss any of those things, we, you know, over the next 35 minutes, don't hesitate to give us a call, share your opinion, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 anytime to come in on air from the conference line. Use the web-based flash phone to make a free call from anywhere in the world. The studio line is also open, 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. So we're going to go ahead and go into a early station identification break, and then we'll come back and we'll hear what Mr. Rush, Bobby Rush, had to say last night. And I mean, it's very important in terms of a teachable moment on the system and how it works, because his exact words was my role in it. He's apologizing for his role in it. And that is what proxy racism is about, trying to get black people to recognize their role in upholding and perpetuating the system. It has always required our participation, our accepting, our assisting. And we have to discourage this behavior in whatever activity area the person is working in. That's where we target them. There has to be repercussions, because guess what? There are rewards. These people are rewarded for this behavior that is not conducive to creating an environment of justice. So since they're rewarded, then there has to be a deterrent. So it is up to us to come up with those creative ways to deter people from being prostitutes of the system. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News right here on Black Talk Radio Network, your digital black radio station, providing you with new media for this new millennium. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium. And you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News, Scotty Reed, on this mic from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. So, Huffington Post, and I'm not sure if I shared this particular article on Black Talk Radio's Facebook page, but I'm going to go ahead and post it again. It's not going to cost us any money to repost this article. But we're going to go ahead and repost that Huffington Post article. You can look it up on our social media account, Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook. Congressman Bobby Rush feels ashamed of voting for the 1994 crime bill. And again, you know, they did a whole lot of damage, man, to black infrastructure, business infrastructure, and what have you. You know, they talk about a lot about, oh, everybody had a job and you know, we created so many jobs and incomes went up. And they're talking about for a select few, okay? They're not talking about the black men that they was locking up off of those black bodies, of how they was creating jobs for cops, for prison guards, for prison vendors, and all of that. Nobody wants to discuss that part of the Clinton's job creation legacy, but he says he's ashamed of voting for that 1994 crime bill. Again, they followed that up with the, I believe it might have came in the same year or 2 years after, the Welfare Reform Act, and then that 1996 Telecommunications Act. Man, those three bills right there, man, I cannot overstate how much damage that did to to the black community. I just really can't. So let's go ahead and listen to Bobby Rush. This may play a ad first, so I may have
our
to
coffee
mute
shop
it.
Is a place for good food and conversation.
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and mute that. But he was on MSNBC. Was it MSNBC or CNN? I'm not sure. Okay, let's go ahead and roll this. Okay, now it's asking for my birth date. What's going on here? This is the first time I've ever seen something like this. Asking me for my birth date to watch a video? Wow, it's crazy. Y'all bear with me.
Gentlemen, let me start out with this. I am ashamed of my vote. I sincerely apologize to my God, apologize to my community, to my family. That was the worst vote, as I look back over the years, that I've taken since I've been in the Congress. It was a vote that really was accompanied with a lot of hope that we will finally be able to deal with not only the issue of crime in our community, devastating crime, but that we will also be able to do those things and have those programs and policies to deal with the other kinds of issues, other problems in our community. And what happened with the crime bill and its implementation was that there was too much of a focus, too many resources on locking them up, but no resources on love and compassion. And as a result, we have devastated our communities, devastated our families, devastated our futures. And you can compare what happened with the crime bill and with the reaction. Well, let me just say this. Crack cocaine and the crime bill were the two worst issues, problems, catastrophes that the black community has suffered through in the last 50 years. I absolutely apologize for voting for that bill. I repudiate not the spirit, but the details of that bill. We have not accomplished anything other than further destruction of our communities.
All right, so that was MSNBC right there. And some of the things I want to address there, and then we're also address on the show I was, Miss Perry. I can't recall her last name right now. Just listen to her show for the first time on WVON, which you can access their station through BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. But, they were bringing up Oliver North. So for y'all young folks out there, y'all may not remember, but you got access to the internet. Look up Oliver North. Look up Iran-Contra, CIA crack cocaine conspiracy. Now, y'all, the young people know. They know who Freeway Ricky Ross is, and not the fake rapper one, but the real one. They've heard his story. His story's been on, website, hip-hop website, where it be a whole lot of garbage, so I'm not going to even give the name out, but the urban stuff, the gutter type stuff to generate views and hit. But yeah, they know who Freeway Ricky Ross is. They know this. And so, again, these were not unintended consequences. And I have stated on this program over the years that when you have, there is some measurable changes in the differences in the policies from president to president, whether it's a Republican, whether it was a Democrat, okay, but a lot of times all of this is bipartisan type legislation. And there's always, you know, the continuity of those policies moving forth. This is probably the first time in my lifetime that, you know, I have been aware of an abolitionist movement, even though, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, shout out to, you know, the Black Panthers, shout out to, you know, some of them specifically like Angela Davis and others, Rochelle McGee, and who were warning us that this was slavery. This is all part of slavery and what have you. But for the first time in my adult life, and I was aware of these conversations about, you know, decreasing mass incarceration, which, of course, is the continuation of modern slavery. But look, they foresaw all of this. Who brought, you know, who was in there before Clinton? H.W. Bush. Who was H.W. Bush? He was, you know, the vice president of the Reagan administration. Okay? And that is when all of that crack cocaine was imported into the United States and dumped into the Black community. They created the conditions for all of this crime and violence. And then the very people who created this problem, it's called the Hegelian dialectic. It's a method to the madness. This is white supremacy type playbook stuff. This ain't the little, you know, working class racist with the Confederate flag or what have you. No, these are true white supremacists. Okay. So they set that up. They created the conditions. And then the next administration coming in, you know, the Republicans talking to Bill Clinton and the Democrats and coming to a consensus. Oh, look at all this crime from all this crack. Now, I can't say Bobby Rush at that time knew. I have to look it up. When was the Oliver North hearings? Was that before or after the Clinton crime bill? I would think it was before. I think that was like in the 80s. 87, 88, somewhere around there, just when I had went into the military, seems. So they knew. I'm not going to even make excuses for anyone and say they didn't know the source of these drugs. Because talk radio, Black talk radio back then, before they destroyed Black radio stations, they were talking about this. This is the source. And so then the people who created the problem then come at you with the solution. Oh, we got to get tough on crime and lock them up and lock them up and lock them up. Oliver North ain't never spent a day in jail, in prison. Neither has Ronald Reagan, who's dead and hope he's burning in hell. But none of these people. You know, the news, they've been talking about Nixon really started the drug war to target the blacks and the anti-war hippies and what have you. They have done a lot of harm, a lot of damage. They've been operating in genocide. Genocide isn't just killing a whole bunch of people at one time, you know, like running them in the gas, you know, chambers and whatnot, where you've mechanized it and what have you. But it's also, you know, just mistreating people and neglecting people and abusing people and to where they do die or they kill each other when they're fighting each other. But that's genocide. And Black people's genocide has been ongoing since the 1600s and the passage of the slave codes, which first introduced racialized white supremacy laws into, you know, law and what have you. So I don't want to make excuses for anyone. They set this up. Then, okay, you later on down the road, 2 years maybe, you do the Welfare Reform Act, and you put millions of more families and people into poverty. What do y'all think happens when people can't eat, when they can't clothe themselves, when they can't have proper housing and whatnot? because they can't find the employment to take care of their basic human needs. We want to talk about health care as a right. We need to talk about housing as a right, food as a right. But when you deprive these people of resources, of jobs, of any kind of development, then the outcome is what we see in Chicago today. That's the outcome. Which they still been allowing drugs to be run into Chicago, the DEA. Just, you know, a couple of years ago, major report coming out of Mexico. DEA cuts deal with the Sinaloa drug cartel to smuggle drugs in exchange for information on their rival cartels. They had a free ride up the highway from across that border straight to Chicago to bring guns and drugs. If they bring in drugs, they bring in guns and then distribute them from all points from there. It is still going on today. So these people, they're not, you know, they are very intelligent, but they aren't like what I would call genius level, where you can't figure it out. If you just pay attention and you read and you study their tactics over a period of years, because they went back to that same rhetoric used in the Klan, the book, The Klan, written by Robert Dixon from not even far. He was born not even far from where I sit now. And that was that popular book that spawned, you know, the white supremacist movie Birth of a Nation and what have you, where they were demonizing black people and saying if they allowed to have any kind of measure of freedom and anything like that, that they a disproportionate number of crimes will start occurring and things of that nature if you give them freedom. They used that language in the 90s. That's what the whole super predator thing is about. Bill Clinton doubled down on it in his little spat with the activists that have been associated with Black Lives Matter. It's nothing new under the sun. It's not that hard to figure out. These people ain't that smart. So I accept Mr. Rush's apology, because, you know, this man was in the trenches as a young man, whatnot. People make mistakes. Perhaps he wasn't paying attention as closely as he should have been paying to. And I do understand, like I was saying, that they were asking also for job investment. They were asking for job investment and infrastructure. The same thing been begging for. Now here we are in 2016. So, you know, I accept his apology. I don't speak for all black people. I understand, but what don't make sense though is, you know, you backing Clinton right now. Charles Noble says, if you are ashamed of the vote, why would you support the woman who helped to create and support it? By suing Willie, using Willie Horton tactic and using language like super predators that basically put a target on young black men. You know. Valerie writes, it's not only the Violent Crime Act that has caused the problems, it's the decline of the public education system, the destruction of the unions in the middle class, and an unequal way in which laws are enforced from one community to another, a lousy education in a rundown school with no decent job prospects, and a rigged judicial system are to blame. And please, let's not forget that after 1994, states decided to privatize their prison systems. There's no reason for the system to rehabilitate prisoners. That would cut off their cash supply. And Mrs. Young is correct. That is what I was saying. But this was all, there were, anybody saying unintended consequences is not really paying attention, or they have not put the pieces of the puzzle together. It is right there for you in chronological order. We can go back to Nixon with the drug war and the creation of the Drug Enforcement Agency, and again, bipartisan effort. Yes, Nixon was a Republican. He had a Democratic Congress that handed him that legislation to sign these things into law to create the modern drug war. He was using racist language and stuff back then to sell it and what have you, telling lies and whatnot. Then came Reagan to overthrow democratically elected governments in South America. He made a deal with some of the quote-unquote rebels, and because Congress wouldn't fund these rebels, I think he had Democratic Congress at the time, because they would not fund a war, a dirty war, to overthrow Nicaragua or whatever country it was, because they overthrew a lot. But, you know, they wouldn't fund it, so Reagan, you know, gets his people to figure out how we're going to fund this insurgency against this Democratic elected socialist government. So, Iran-Contra, the drugs, the guns, that's how they funded it. They got black people, poor, downtrodden people, desperate to sell these drugs and fund it and get locked up in the process and kill each other. Yeah, the white supremacists, man, they are very good at what they do. But it's not like, you know, we don't know what they doing. And we have to do our part in educating those around them and letting them see the bigger picture, the historical timeline, if you will. But she's right on point. But no, it wasn't just the states. The federal government gave them the license to do that with that 1994 crime bill. Because again, they shifted money later from the social safety net, the food stamps, the public housing, education, all of that, and then put that money on, we're going to set these billions over here, and we're going to use private contractors like the Geo Group and Corporation Corporation of America. You know, the whole privatized everything. It was going on at the state level and the federal level. Democrats and Republicans did this. And so right now, the only person that's running for president that has a chance to even win, you know, shout out to the Green Party, and I think the Libertarian Party is against mass incarceration, modern day slavery, although they may not refer to it as modern day slavery, but I think they have platforms that attacks the problem regardless of what it's being called. But the only person among the Republicans and the Democrats that's even talking about abolishing any form of slavery is Bernie Sanders. And Hillary Clinton, she can say, you know, I'll end it in her angry response. Man, she was angry. She was yelling last night. But if you mentioned that she was yelling, she was rude, she was interrupting, oh, now I'm a sexist. And I'm telling women to shut up. And no, I'm not. I'm telling you to act like you got sense. Like you've been taught some kind of manners and whatnot. You talked. Then when it was Mr. Sanders' turn to talk, you interrupted and you just hurried up and got out your rehearsed diatribe. Even the moderator had to put you in check and tell, man, that's an evil woman, man. I'm telling you, I believe the stories that people have said in the White House about this woman's temper when she was the first lady, said that she would be throwing stuff at Bill Clinton, throwing stuff. It probably cause them found out about one of his women, you know, and angry about something. How could you do it in the Oval Office? Couldn't you be more private or whatever? Whatever they were arguing about, she's throwing things at him, violence. Say this woman would go off and be cursing people, was very disrespectful to the staff and what have you. I believe those stories. Because it's been on display in these debates. Just very rude person, man. She's like the female version of Donald Trump. She tried to be more slick with hers, though, but same kind of little mean spiritness about her. So anyway, I can't think of anything else to share, but I know I mentioned it. Let me see if I can find this article about black representatives, black people. They weren't, because the narrative they've been trying to spin is like black people was begging. We were begging for y'all to come lock up our children and you know, throw us in the private prisons and to stop us and to frisk us and you know, just a police state. See if I can find that article. But no, that's not what they were asking for. Mr. Rush gave you a little hint there when he was talking about there was some hope because there had been some talk about some development of the black community, creating jobs and education, you know, building up the schools. Look at them schools in Detroit. Y'all seen some of them schools in Detroit? Man, and they got little children going to school in these. These buildings should be condemned. Just, I tell you. Then, you know, they closing schools, but they ain't building no new ones. Not in the black community, no. But they building detention facilities for children and what have you. I'm trying to see if I can find that article I share. Here it is. Did blacks really endorse the Clinton crime bill? I'm going to go ahead and post it again so it's at the top of the feed in case you want to check it out. Did blacks really endorse the 1994 crime bill? This is an article published in the New York Times written by Elizabeth Hinton. As political candidates and pundits grapple with the legacy of the 1994 crime bill in the era of mass incarceration that has seen millions of African Americans locked in the nation's prisons, one defense keeps popping up that black citizens asked for. Yeah, who was it popping up from? Hillary Clinton used that as a handy excuse. Bill Clinton, they were calling for it. You know, right-wing, they were calling for it. They told us to come bring, hire all these cops to come in and brutalize them and, you know, stop them while they walking and, you know, and then locking them up. They asked for all that. When confronted by her husband's pivotal support for the bill, Hillary Clinton argued, even as she admitted the legislation's shortcomings, that the bill was a response to great demand, not just from America writ large, but from the black community to get tougher on crime. Yet the historical record reveals a different story. I mean, all she does is lie. That's all she does is lie. We're going to have to come up with a rap song and somebody put a beat to it or something about Hillary Clinton. All she does is lie. Yet the historical record reveals a different story. Instead of being the unintended consequence of the democratic process at work, punitive crime policy is a result of a process of selectively hearing black voices on the question of crime. There's no question that by the early 1990s, black wanted an immediate response to the crime, violence, and drug markets in their communities. Again, created by who? Ronald Reagan. Trying to fund the dirty wars in South America. Him and Oliver North brought that crack cocaine and dumped it in the black community. I should say cocaine. It was cooked up as crack once it was dumped here. Gave him a pipeline, free reign. You know it had to, it couldn't have just been Oliver North. You know the DEA had to be involved in that. All of these other intelligence agencies had to be involved in that. You don't run no operation like that, generating that kind of cash in these other, you know, so-called intelligence groups and law enforcement agencies don't stumble into it. The FBI had to know what was going on. It says that, but even at the time, many were asking for something different from the crime bill. Calls for tough sentencing and police protection were paired with calls for full employment, quality education, and drug treatment. And criticism, even back then, because it has always been with us, of police brutality. It's not just that those demands were ignored completely, it's that some elements were elevated and others were diminished. What we call selective hearing. Policymakers pointed to black support for greater punishment and surveillance without recognizing accompanying demands to redirect power and economic resources to the low-income minorities. When blacks ask for better policing, legislators tend to hear more instead. Selective hearing has a deep history. In the progressive era, W.E.B. Du Bois and Ida B. Wells called for state authorities to offer blacks the same social investment that reformers used to manage crime in white immigrant communities. But while whites received rehabilitation and welfare programs, black citizens found themselves overpunished and overprotected. Because even back then, even though it wasn't on a mass level as it is today, even back then, after the Civil War, the 13th Amendment legalized slavery as punishment for crime. Well, in order to practice that, you gotta have jails, you gotta have prisons, you gotta have criminal codes you put on the book to target people with. So here we see again, looking at the historical record, a long history of the same tactics over and over and over and over. How are we going to respond? Well, we have come up with response. I'm not even going to sit up here and play like nobody to this point has come up with a response, because the Black Panther Party certainly had a response in taking control of the communities, not asking anybody for permission, but from those communities they were serving. And ask the police if we can patrol the community, our own community, have our own armed patrol. No, they didn't ask nobody. It was their rights. They cited the Constitution and what have you. And they just did it. They ain't asked for nobody's permission to create free medical clinics or food stamp program. Before there was a food stamp program, before there was free breakfast in these schools, free lunches in these schools, these kids was getting free breakfast from the black. We don't need their permission. And what happened to the Black Panther Party? They were destroyed by the United States government. They were targeted. So that tells me that they stumbled upon constructive countermeasures that were working. And that is why many of them are political prisoners to this day. This is why Mumia is still in prison. This is why Mondo Wilanga just died in prison. That's why Herman Bell died in prison. That's why Hugo Pernell died in prison. That's why George Jackson, on and on. That's why Sada is in Cuba right now with these white supremacists and proxy racists calling for her capture or killing and extradition back to the United States. It's ongoing. And it's just so sad, because these people are playing from the same 100-year-old war book. It is time for us to do what is necessary, as Malcolm X had preached so many times. Whatever is necessary for us to become free. And to be free means free from police brutality, free from racism, free from poverty, free from state-sponsored violence, free from slavery, because that is the root of it all. So, we have to do whatever we have to do to end slavery. Because they did not end it in 1865. They just turned it into something else, and it's plaguing us today. But there is hope, because there has been a mass awakening, not to the levels that we want to see, but we're starting to see people in mass media. And not necessarily am I talking about the paid puppets and what have you, but some of the people they interview on the street who get an opportunity to ask questions or are called upon to give an interview, and they use the correct language and call it slavery. They correctly identify the root of all these problems, and that is what we must work to end. In my opinion, that's just my opinion, based off of my analysis, but I'm not the smartest person in the world. I think that's a good starting point. All right, so Tando Radio Show is coming up in an hour at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time with a broadcast, and Race Treaty will also be on air at 9 o'clock. Yeah, Race Treaty comes on at 9 o'clock, and I believe the Lotus Place will be on at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, following the Lotus Place. Get it right. All right. Okay. Again, do want to thank, give another shout out and thanks to Thomas Darrell, Gregory Ronald, the Land of Beauty, and ADAC LLC for your recent contributions to the Black Media Crowdfunding Campaign for 2016. You know, the shirts, some of you may have already received the thank you shirts, the Black Radio Station Matters thank you shirts, and just sent out two more today. So just want to thank you and remind the rest of the listeners, those who you know, consume the content that we produce, go ahead, get one of those shirts, man. I mean, really, you're not buying a shirt, you're making a contribution to the nonprofit that is engaged in elevating independent Black media, and we will go as far as you take us. Okay, so that's really what we're doing in the shirts and some other things we're working. Those are just us showing appreciation to a family member. Oh, thank you. We appreciate that. Here, take this in exchange. Thank you. Just building relationships. So make sure that you check out either on blacktalkmediaproject.org or blacktalkradionetwork.com. The tab in the secondary menu, it says crowdfunding Black media. You can find out more information. You'll find out some stuff you might did not know, like only six companies, media companies, only six now, they control 95% of what everybody, I would say, in the planet, but, you know, I can say for certain in the United States, but six media companies control 95%+ of what we read, what we watch, and what we listen to. So we gotta change that. So let's make it happen. All right, recognize the fact that you do, in fact, live behind enemy lines. It's a battlefield out there. They're practicing slavery in this country, and it needs to be abolished. So when you're out there moving behind these lines, you need to be careful. You need to be codified. You need to be aware of your surroundings at all times, not just to watch out for the slave catchers, but we live in a violent society. There are people who just open up and just shoot you in a movie theater and gun you down. And so you always got to be aware. I was at the post office today. You know, I'm looking at everybody who comes in, and I'm looking at their hands, and I'm trying to see if they got anything in their hand. I don't know. They might have something against the post office, or they see that as representative of the federal government and want to come in and do an attack or whatnot. You always have to be aware. Always. There's plenty of things out there that will kill you on this battlefield. So tighten up your skills and definitely train your children up in the way that they should go. With that said, peace and blessings to all y'all. Definitely be safe out there.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
We have to begin to move to control our community. Everything that's in your community that you don't control is a weapon against you. Public education as it exists today is a weapon against Black people. TV and news media, especially the WPP, White Power Press, White People's Paper, and White People's Power, are enemies against Black people. Now, what the white press does is that it makes Black people an enemy of Black people.